Oh, man.
I'm the one that can satisfy you.
So, I did not know that Voltaire had released an album of
country
western stuff.
Yeah, I'd heard about it. I'd seen it on his website. I bet it would be an interesting twist. Then again, a lot of his stuff, like the fiddle, could sound very similar to banjo-style music.
Yeah. So. I was on a random thread on the pony board of 4chan today, and they were talking about who people would want to come on as a guest and maybe do a song. Uh-huh. And he popped up, and the conversation kind of, you know, went on for a bit. And I was like, damn, has he produced anything since Bottom of the Sea?
Mm-hmm.
No, not really. He had his live album, and then he had his country western album, and then he did a kids album, and that's about it so far.
That's three albums in, like, 3 years. That's pretty good.
The live album was just a concert album.
Yeah.
And the kids album is edited versions of his other original songs.
Oh, okay.
And the country western is just country western songs.
Well, it still takes effort to put together an album.
It takes effort. It's country. Ew.
See, not all... Okay, so we're recording, so I'm Fuzzwolf.
I'm Saverin.
I'm Sheeva.
We haven't said anything offensive or fucked up. We're just having an interesting conversation.
Yeah.
So, episode starts here. This is episode 171.
One. Okay. Who needs numbers?
Okay, yeah, really, who needs numbers?
Episode Q.
Episode Q. So, here's the thing. There's a wide range of country music.
Oh, I know there is. I listened to the previews. I was tempted to buy it.
Yeah, I probably will pick it up at some point.
I just prefer his original style.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'll go back to this. This is kind of like what I was telling a friend of mine, Neil Young, had experimented with in the early 80s. It's actually kind of a funny story with him. He had gotten a new record contract, and he'd been known for a folk song in the 70s called Heart of Gold. It was a real big hit for him.
Yeah.
And they had signed him, and he did something that was a little bit different, but not vastly different. And they were like... No, this is bullshit. We want you to do exactly what you did before, basically. Just remake Heart of Gold like 14 times on an album and just do the exact same thing. So they kind of pissed him off from a creative freedom perspective. So his next three albums, he's mostly known for folk rock, singer-songwriter stuff.
Yeah.
His next three albums he made that were completely different from everything before and from each other. So the first one is one in, came out in 1980 or 82 called Trans, and he's sometimes called Nine Inch Neil because this is the early 80s. He used a vocoder, and it's very trancey, very techno-y, and totally different. He was using a synth instead of an acoustic guitar. And there's actually some really good shit on there. And they did a blues album, and they did a country album, and he did an album that was old... sort of written to be like 50s rock standards. So, like, basically the rest of his contract with this record company, I don't remember which one it was, he didn't do any fucking folk rock style albums.
Well, I mean, it's good to see artists do more in their style. I really like his voice.
Yeah. I was listening to his playlist today, actually. Voltaire, not Neil Young. And, yeah, Graveside Picnic is still, like, one of my all-time favorite songs.
That one and God Thinks is always fun, too.
Yeah, God Thinks and When You're Evil were the first two songs I ever heard of his that I was introduced to by a friend of mine. He's like, dude, you gotta check this out. I know you don't listen to a lot of goth stuff, but these are really cool. And I was like, yeah, this is really cool. And I guess I still don't listen to a lot of goth stuff, but I really like Voltaire, so...
Yeah, that's...
Maybe he's got a cross... genre appeal or something, but
it's really his voice.
Yeah,
he can croon with the best of them, and yeah, sure, he's talking about zombie prostitutes. And
but as a nerd and a geek and occasional horror movie fan, I mean, that's not a problem for me. You know, do you know his stuff, Sheeva?
I've heard a couple of his stuff. My ex used to really love him, so I heard some. I know When You're Evil and a couple of others,
right?
I'm not super familiar.
We should introduce you to some more of his music then.
I've got
I'm assuming you've never seen him in concert then.
No.
Because I went once with you.
Yeah, you went with
locally.
Me. We went to the church.
And then I went once with Lexa. And I think that was either at the church or it was down in Austin. And then I saw him play in Jacksonville, Florida. They had a sci-fi con there that only lasted 1 year that a friend of mine helped put together called DreamCon. I saw him at that. Oh, and I saw him a fourth time. I saw him. He played. DreamCon did another little thing called The Nightmare Before Thanksgiving. It was like the one date they could get was like in early November, and they had Voltaire come down and play that. I think that's all the times I've seen him perform. I actually thought it would be a really cool idea to get him out to a furry convention. Because totally, as like a musical guest or something, if you asked her, that would be...
You'd be like, wow, y'all are bigger freaks than me.
That's hard to do.
Because I think him being sort of keyed into the geek nerd subculture, I mean, he came out of doing Star Trek folk songs at Dragon Con. He's seen way weirder than fur fags.
Sure.
And I know a lot of furries that like his music, and I think he'd totally fit in, you know?
So, speaking of filk, this is not going too terribly far from what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's this Star Wars Connect game, right?
Okay.
It's this shitty kids title, obviously for kids, but it includes a Dance Central kind of mode.
Uh-huh.
And there's 15 songs, except it's 15 filk songs. Princess in a Battle... I'm Han Solo. All the songs... Well, actually, there's a couple that aren't actually... They're just random-ass songs that are added on there.
Mm-hmm.
But there are several songs that are just... It's straight-up filk.
Huh.
It's so weird. It's like Genie in a Bottle is turned into Princess in a Battle. It's... What the hell? And your avatar, your dancing avatar, mm-hmm. is like an Imperial officer, or Han Solo, or Princess Leia.
Is that the one that Penny Arcade mocked, like, a couple days ago?
It's like, you know, I see my kid doing it, and the only thing is he doesn't know any better.
It's okay for kids. They don't know any better.
Yeah.
That's as bad as the children's trailer for Phantom Menace.
Oh, God.
What was the other one that somebody made as a parody? We were talking about this last week.
I'm sure there's
probably
like a children's trailer for Jaws.
Yeah, it was something nuts like that. Like, it took some other movie and it was like, oh, he looks hungry. You know, if it was like Jaws or something like that, it really lamed it up. Let's lame it up a notch.
It's been a week.
It's been a pretty boring week. I went to the dentist yesterday. That was the highlight of my week. Actually, strike that. That wasn't a highlight of my week. So, my cool little... I tweeted this. Some of the listeners may already have seen it. My cool little thing that I ordered from Michelle Light at Furry Confusion arrived.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that. Those are really cute.
For the listeners, it's called Doggy Paddle. And it's a husky girl who's kneeling on her knees, and she's got her jeans down at her knees, and her panties say "spank me" on them, on the back, and she comes with a little paddle. So obviously, right up my alley. Really cute. It's based on a print that Michelle did a couple years back, and this sculptor in the fandom made a sculpture of it, and then they produced.
Girl.
Okay.
Yeah, she also did the one for a couple years back, like 2 years ago, the little saber tooth.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar. I think I've seen that.
Mammoth.
Yes.
And they've done 200 of them, so they're kind of a limited run. She was taking pre-orders at FC, and they had some shipping issues with them coming over from China, but I just got mine.
Mm,
it's
lead.
Lead. I haven't licked her, so I'm not concerned about that.
Yeah, as long as you don't lick your statuette, you should be okay.
It's really adorable. It's adorable and kind of sexy, so yeah, you guys should probably check that out. Michelle's on...
What a weirdo.
I know, right? Michelle's on FA. I think she's going to have them for sale at the next few cons. She's already mailed out all the pre-orders shit, but you can still order one if you want one.
They're $50, but that's what you're going to pay for.
It's,
you know, it's one of those things that when you
like
think about it for
80.
Half a second...
It's 60, I think. Sorry, what?
Okay, 50. I remember like a couple of furry fiestas ago, she had the saber-tooth girl on like for 50. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just thinking, it's like, when you compare those to like decent quality anime models, they're really cheap. So,
and they're nice, cute little statues. They're nice statues. And
cute. I just was one of those things that kind of startled me when I went actually and looked.
Uh-huh.
It's like, wow, they're selling these really quite cheaply compared to...
What does like an anime statue cost then?
It really depends on the quality, but yeah. They can be between 20 to, you know, a couple hundred.
Really?
Okay. It depends on the size and stuff, but like for a little PVC of that size,
mm-hmm.
depends, some could be like $50, $60 easy.
Okay. Because this isn't even PVC. I mean, this feels...
It's like... cold cast resin or something.
Yeah, some sort of, if I dropped it, it would break material. I'm not sure exactly what it's made of.
It's pretty fairly priced, though.
Yeah. And it looked like nice quality. I originally thought they would be a little overpriced because whenever you're dealing with the specialty market, I mean, a limited run, 200 pieces, that's real limited considering mainstream shit. But, yeah, at $60 and $5 for shipping is really not that bad at all. But yeah, I think I remember hearing about the first one, but I don't remember actually seeing it completed. I guess
I can show you it. It's sitting on my bookshelf.
Yeah, it must have just passed me by. Plus, this one is tied into kind of a kink of mine.
I was going to say,
because I've got the print of that piece, I believe. No, I've got the print of the other one of the antelope girl bent over, but. Anyway, sexy stuff. Oh,
okay. So here's, just looking to see some of these things. Like uh-huh. Just like here's a tiger and bunny pair of PVC.
It's one of my favorite animes.
It's actually really good. Yeah, it's a really good anime.
Oh, that's the name of the anime, Tiger and Bunny?
Tiger and Bunny.
You would probably like this one, Fuzz.
Oh, okay.
What's
it about?
It's an anime where superheroes... They exist, they have real limited powers, but they're also sponsored. Like NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
Like they got Captain Amazing at the beginning of Mystery Men.
Yeah.
With the patches all
like that, but everybody's like that.
Okay.
And they participate in a like game show where to see who can save the most people, solve the most crimes, etc.
And get the highest points and everything else.
The main characters are basically guys in mech suits.
Mm-hmm.
Who have similar powers, and one's Tiger, one's Bunny, and there's an overarching story, but it's like a superhero. It's a Japanese anime take on American superhero-style comics with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek humor and a large budget.
The name of the characters, there's Flying Tiger, and I can't remember the proper name of the one that they call Bunny, but he's on one of those mech suits that look like they've got the big flat antennas.
Yeah.
So they look like bunny ears, so the... Tiger ends up calling him Bunny, and that's where it sticks.
Yeah. But anyways, here's $60 for mm-hmm. the figure. But then, actually, here's a single figure that's a 1/8 size action figure model kit, $60.
Mm-hmm.
And that's plastic model kits, not...
Not like a resin or anything.
Yeah. So... Like this one right here, it's a Amelia Maxwell 8th figure. I'm looking at JList.com, so people can go and look at this themselves.
Mm-hmm.
An 8th scale figure, I guess. 8.3 inches, yeah. Is $130. But, I mean, it's a decently complicated model, and
mm-hmm.
it's an anime girl with big tits, so.
Yep.
Boobs are great.
Awesome.
Anyways,
I'm attached to mine, so I'm glad.
Well, I hope you don't detach them. Just don't. And if you do, don't leave them around here.
Wait, did you mean you're attached to your tits, or you like your resin statue?
No, I'm attached to my tits.
Oh, so okay.
She likes her resin tits.
Unscrew bowl. No,
oh, God.
It's perfect.
Spin them around like tops.
Mm-hmm. Get those little pasties that like twirl around and have fireworks shooting out. A friend of mine back in Jacksonville was an erotic dancer, and they had like the cops were like waiting outside. It was a lesbian bar, and the cops were like waiting to storm in if there was any nudity. There was a little bit of prejudice there.
About
all the women watching the women. She's like, I knew it was dangerous, but I was going to twirl, damn it. So she just had the pasties with the twirls, and you know, you did the milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, girls in this case, to the yard kind of thing. It was kind of funny because this was one of those cases I was telling you all about on another episode, or one of the three occasions I've seen a stripper where every single time I've known the person stripping.
Nice. That
the only guys that were in this lesbian bar were all the gay and bisexual male friends of hers that had, like, shown up to support her. So they were kind of looking at us like, the fuck's going on?
Just
guys are showing up at the lesbian bar. This is kind of crazy.
That's where you come in wearing a big pride shirt, and you know, then they don't wonder anymore.
San Francisco, now go home.
Don't worry, I'm not here to ogle the tits. I'm just here to show solidarity with my dancing friend. And it was kind of hot anyway, so I am bi, so yeah.
You can appreciate some tits,
yeah, and some ass. Girls have nice asses. So.
All right.
Even if I was straight, I wouldn't be a boobs guy. I mean, yeah, sure, boobs are great, as Simon says, but I'm all about the ass.
Yep.
I think I just broke Shiva. What's funny?
Even if I was straight, I wouldn't be a
boobs guy.
I'm sorry, I'm just amused.
I mean, I'm half straight on my mother's side, so.
God.
No, I'm very, very much a boobs person, so.
You just like to bury your face between them and be like.
No, I never really had that urge, I can honestly say.
I've heard that women hate it when men grab their boobs and try to make like one big boob by smushing them together.
It's not comfortable, no.
I wouldn't think so. I'd imagine it would be like somebody smushing my nuts around or something.
I don't think quite that uncomfortable, but it's like, what are you doing? That's. Okay. It's not fun for me, but you have fun there.
So. Okay, so you actually already did the emails?
Did what needed to do.
Yeah.
Like, we had a couple of spam emails and someone trying to invite us to LinkedIn, of all things.
Yeah. Why would you want us on your LinkedIn?
You don't want Notcast on your LinkedIn account.
It doesn't work.
I thought we had 10, though, and now we have 9. Did you...
Oh, that was the one that...
That wasn't... I don't think I had
Okay. That was the one that Panther replied to. I can fix it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're going to read the other part of it, remember?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, but still, that gives us...
Emails,
yes. I'm going to pick one and start reading then. If we have nothing else to discuss right now.
Are we going Wittershins? We haven't done Wittershins in a while.
Sure. Okay. I'm going to... Oh, May, I got a short one. Yay! I picked it because I like the subject line. I was like, it's... subject line is mid-fur. And, like, we were wondering what all goes on in the strange enchanted land of Australia, so...
Hey, you get Australium for your mustache.
I'm a... What?
Go on.
No, what was it, an Australian mustache?
No, you get Australium and a mustache.
I was just imagining what an Australian mustache would look like. It'd be like shaped like a boomerang. So just shoot like right either side of your nose. Yeah, there we go. Hey, I'm a platypus dragon from Australia named Vel. I heard you mentioning mid-fur to a New Zealand fur last episode. I went this January and I had a really good time. It was my first con, and I managed to meet up with a large number of furs. While I would like to go to some of the larger U.S. cons, mid-fur is a good place to start. It is expensive, and it's so popular that the con hotel filled up around 11 months away from the beginning. Maybe you guys should come down here and do a show. Smiley face. I'm thinking we probably won't. Nothing against mid-fur or Australia, but it is...
It's expensive.
It's very far away, and it would cost us a fortune to get
there.
Get
them to invite us as guests of honor, then sure.
Yeah, I think when the Australians... When the Australians decide that they want to have 4 filthy-mouthed Americans as their guests of honor, that's the point when they have too much money.
Well, they invited, 2 down there, didn't they?
But he is only 1 filthy-mouthed American.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with our show is that you'd have to fly in four of us, basically. So.
Yeah. And we'd have to worry about equipment.
Well, to be honest, only 3 of us are filthy-mouthed. Panther doesn't say anything.
That's right.
Well, he does have a filthy mouth, though.
Yeah, but he doesn't say anything. We have to wash it.
No, I'm just kidding. Like, you know,
actually, he doesn't really curse.
Yeah, I know. We even when he's tough, he doesn't. I'm the
filthy mouthed one.
Yeah.
And you...
So, I had this, like, yeah, because your mouth's been on Panther. That's why you have the filthy mouth.
Totally.
And he just lies back there and be like, yes, yes.
Doesn't even communicate. He telepathically tells me this.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't even move his hand to push your head down. You know, he just does it with his mind. No,
he holds his hand up, purple glow around it.
Make him go. Purple glow. He doesn't have the power of magnetism.
I don't think he would be coming over and throwing things at you.
You just control your head.
Yeah, it's like he'd be sitting over there at his computer and just things would start flying off the shelf over here. But you were going to say.
What was I saying?
I don't know.
Something about Panther's filthy mouth. Oh, no, I was going to realize. I realized this the other day that I'm like, I'm at my most filthy on this show.
Yeah.
I did realize that. I was like, because Tira and I don't really have the same senses of humor in some regards. So, you know, I don't really talk about, you know, cum flying everywhere and fisting and...
Well, see, I've seen doses of this in other conversations, but it's usually when this crowd is, like, eating dinner.
It's you guys. When I'm around you guys.
We're a bad influence.
See, my explanation is that this is how I get all my evil out each week.
Uh-huh.
After, you know, I'm dealing with nonsense and trying to be nice and clean in other aspects, and she's like, oh, I've got all this concentrated evil. I got to get it out somewhere.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I'm still seeing my therapist getting over with the grief counseling and all that. And then I realized that, like, he's this really quiet, kind of nice guy. And I realized that in my sessions, I never swear.
Hmm.
And so I'm like, but then I like that at work, too. So it's not like I'm...
Well, there's a time and a place.
There's here a time
on,
and a place.
Here on Nodcast, you can totally
work is not a place for anything.
The work is not a place. But, I mean... Even when I'm in a therapy session, or if I'm talking about something I'm frustrated about, I'm not like this.
Fuck.
Yeah, I don't even drop an F bomb or anything like that. Consequently, he thinks I'm a really nice guy.
Well, you are a nice guy. You just
I just drop a lot of F bombs for, you know, two hours a week.
See, I don't think with friends, whether it's you guys or somebody else, I don't think mm-hmm. I'm that much different, for good or for ill.
I think I don't know, I guess my sense of humor and my freedom of language is a little more unhinged when I'm on this show. But, you know, I just have a good sense of time and a place. Because, I totally keep my shit together at work.
Oh, God, yes. I'm not like this at work. I mean, fuck
and
no.
Although I do, because I'm talking to coworkers and stuff on IM... There is sometimes the urge to roll into fur fag mode.
Oh.
And I'll be like, you know, if somebody says thank you, I almost want to reply, wags. I'd be like, what was that all about?
Well, there's certain times where it's like, you said thank you, and you're just happy.
Yeah, and I just, and then I immediately think of my character sitting there at my desk, you know, tail wagging. And I'm just like,
I'm praised.
Yeah, exactly. Ears are all perky.
Yeah, I mean, there's just some ways that's...
So... Hey, Shiva.
Yes?
You shoot an email.
Now we're doing Wittershins.
Oh, shit. We're going all backwards.
It's all about you.
All right, so...
Yeah, I'm just sitting back.
Yeah.
Waiting for you.
Here's an update.
Okay. A pup date.
Oh.
Yep. This is an all-important barbecue update.
Oh, shit.
Hi, Notcasters. Wrote into you a few weeks ago about my hosting the spring barbecue for the Asfers. Just want to let you know that everything went well. One of the first things I did was ban alcohol, and that seemed to keep everyone in a controllable level. I got some good advice from the guys at Bad Dragon, and some of them even attended.
He
didn't get any good advice from us.
I was wondering what the awkward pause was. I was just like, yes, they're local, the Arizona Arizona. I think.
Anyways, the cooking went smoothly. Everyone had more than enough to eat. One of the first things was the DJ and brought his equipment and laid down the beats all night long. When the sun was almost down, he turned on the tree lights in the backyard and started a roaring bonfire. S'mores and marshmallows were enjoyed by all. Everyone was well behaved. Half of them were engaged in an adult version of apples to apples, while the other half were outside shaking their booties and chilling by the fire. After the main party was over, a handful stayed and enjoyed some dancing inside and a hookah brought by someone. The evening ended with a showing of the movie Borat. Good times. This is one of my longest events hosted, going from 12 p.m. to 1 a.m. Looking forward to next one, which will be a pool party next month. Keep up the great work, guys. Leopard hugs, Vesca.
Oh, that sounds pretty awesome.
Yay! I wonder if you got by the adult version Apples to Apples was Cards Against Humanity.
I was thinking that. Yeah, that probably. It's probably Cards Against Humanity.
Because that was fun the other night.
I got some great advice from Bad Dragon.
Wait a minute.
They gave me some good advice on stretching.
Always stretch before you exercise.
See, hey, go to guys, you're exercising. If any of these Bad Dragon guys listen, if you send us like a box of dildos, you could totally be sponsor us, you know? A box of limpies. No. Put them in my safe room to feel safe.
Limpies, is that what they make you do? Limp?
No.
No, it's a Kevin Smith reference where the company that makes Fleshlight makes dicks out of the Fleshlight material. Oh, and if you've seen the Fleshlight material, it's very soft and floppy.
Yes.
So they just call them pink limpies because they're dildos, but they're completely unusable in a physical sense. And Kevin was saying something like he would line the walls of his... He has a panic room in his house. He'd line the walls of the panic room with pink limpies and go in and just rub his face against the wall of pink limp dicks in order to feel safe.
Oh, okay. So, hey, Bad Dragon actually has pins. But when I first looked at it, I thought they were, like, penis-shaped.
They're not. They're just regular pens.
They're just regular pens with the Bad Dragon logo on it.
But you click the end to make the ink. And just, no, you click the link and like a big shot of cum fires out the end of the pen. It's like, I can't write with this.
Or worse, ink.
Oh, yeah, you have to stroke the tip in order to get the ink part to come out.
That's
my ideas for Bad Dragon product.
They may or may not fly.
You know, I don't think my ideas would be any more or less insane than the shit they're already making.
Yeah.
They have an anal toy shaped like a tentacle. I'm like, that's pretty awesome. That's totally something I would have thought of, too.
Yep.
In fact, I may buy like 30 of them and just line my shower walls
with them.
Hey, and
you know, you can get Chance.
To get that underwater feeling. Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, you could get one of those. You could kill a man with Chance.
Well, you never want to play a game of Chance. Oh, no.
You know, you grip the head and just swing it. Be like a flexible shillelagh.
Beaten to death with a horse cock.
Yeah, be like in that video game.
Yep.
I don't think it's horse, though.
God.
So I'll keep reading.
Okay, did you even start? You didn't even start yet.
Me or him?
No, I read, and then we sort of tangented, and then now
right.
It's, now it's Shiva's turn.
Okay, so now it's Shiva's turn.
Yeah.
Okay, Shiva, go ahead.
Shiva?
It's mispronounced obvious names week on NotCast.
Yeah.
I'm Foos Wolf.
I'm Scarvin.
What was the other one we got the last week or so?
Saffron.
Saffron. Well, yellow.
He's been Saffron before. And then we got one, I think it was Zarvan, which is
Zarvon,
like,
yeah.
Zarvon is a Power Rangers villain.
Oh, God. I don't want to know what his monster form would look like.
Zip. Take a look.
A giant penis. With ears?
Does your penis have ears, Saffron?
No.
I'm sorry, I got.
That would be awesome if Fennec Cox had ears. That would just be great, you know. They could hear him coming.
Oh.
Wow, that's painful.
Anywho, April Fools, anyone?
No.
No, a couple
next days email. No. Oh. No April Fools.
Hey, Notcasters. I will admit that tears of laughter and relief rolled down my face when I heard my email read on the show in episode 169. I don't have any stories of any sex insanity to give you for your small book project, Fuzz.
Curses.
But if I remember correctly, there were two lesbians that went to my former high school 2 or 3 years before me, making out or some type of random gossip that flew around our heads, probably the same time when pot was being smoked in the basement and bathrooms at school. Oh, the fun of Catholic high schools. But sorry, Fuzz, no lesbian stories from the silly girl that she knows of and could share from the sidelines. If I did have any ideas of any, I'd probably throw some your way if my brain decides to stop being crippled from writer's block. Before anyone goes there on some kind of lesbian rant, I've taken some consideration about what you guys are saying. Even though I just started cracking up when you guys went all on the semi-lesbian rant in the middle of answering, it at least made my day better. Yes, my mom is judgmental and a bit of psycho for that reason, but I can't do much when she's paying for my tuition. I still have to live with her and the rest of my dysfunctional household. But besides mom and her crazy parenting skills aside, I consider waiting to talk to my dad in person instead of over Facebook or phone texts or such. I didn't want to just write texts and expect a response, who knows when, since he just writes whenever he has time, going for the wait between minutes to weeks or months. Who knows when that chance might come up to talk in person, but I know that writing to you all had put my mind at some ease instead of wondering what type of advice I get about this. Now, back to the topic of April Fools. I have a bit of story to tell of what I had done to a friend last year. She happened to be born on April 1st, so that was enough of a springboard to get her a gift.
I got my friend a gift, too.
My uncle's actually born on April 1st. My mom thought that they had told her a joke. Huh. Let's see. So when that wonderful day rang around, I walked into school, find my friend in the library with a couple of other girls from other classes. I stood there grinning before giving her a thin, 2-foot-long box that was wrapped up in dog and cat wrapping paper, also being completely taped in duct tape and masking tape. She looked at me afraid and unwrapped the gift after a good 5 or 6 minutes to find another six tinier boxes of duct tape boxes inside the long box. I had pretty much given her 6 boxes of some cheap-ass soap with a happy birthday written on the box of soap. She is relieved that my gift didn't shoot a cannon of confetti in her face, but I didn't want the school involved if they heard a large popping noise coming from their tiny-ass yet shitty school library. Hope you guys have interesting stories for us as well as any trickster pranks. I'm sorry about my twisted word meanings and F-bomb rampage that she had to read. I feel a bit bad about her reading that insane email. Ah, don't feel bad. From the girl from the West, Blue. Anything from April Fools for you guys? I know Bad Dragon had one. There was the Toonami one, which went kind of crazy.
I'm still really impressed with how ThinkGeek does April Fools every year. Because not only did it come up with some amusing ideas, some of the products are so good that people are like, fuck yeah, I want to buy that, and they become real products later on.
Yeah.
But on a couple of them, I mean, not only have they done the mock-up of the product and taken pictures, there are a couple that they've made actual videos for. Mm-hmm. And it's just... it's just really neat. I really liked the one that was the Hungry Hungry Hippos on the iPad. That was how they have touch capacitive sensors in their mouths, so it's the same, you know, on the screen. But and of course, just by doing that, I flipped to another app on my iPad. But anyway, I thought that was really neat because the iCade that they did years ago, which was a little arcade thing you could slide your iPad in and play games on it, they actually made that. They're like $80. You can buy one.
What was Bad Dragons this year?
Bad Dragons, they made 3 shot glasses out of silicon.
Nice.
So that when you drop them, they don't break.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah, it's basically shot glasses made out of the thong material.
It's a bit more useful than the crowbar.
Yeah. And you could buy the set for like $45, I think. I had thought of getting them, but at the same time, we're also saving for a house. So I need to watch my spending. To be fair, the $60 Michelle Light thing I actually bought 3 months ago at FC. Out of my FC BookCon budget, so, but Yeah, I had thought of picking them up. That they're kind of neat. And yeah, you're, I don't know what it would be like. The only thing was all the pictures of them on their website, they had the white cum lube dribbling out of them. But they did have some associated artwork of characters doing cum shots out of the shot glasses.
I wonder if that's how they got the idea. Cum shot, shot glasses. That's this year's thing.
I don't know.
There was that weird story a while back. Like, it was this thing about the horse cum shots. Like, it was a thing for virility or women in, like, Australia.
It's always, it's always overseas somewhere.
Yeah.
They come up with some... I mean, sure, Texas has its disgustingness with, we'll deep fry everything at the state fair. Not deep fried horse cum, thank God. But... yeah, it was. I think it was in Japan or China or something.
It was some place that was like selling shots of horse cum.
Yeah, and like it was basically prized stallion semen. It was like graded and everything like that. And if you drank it, it would give you all this male virility and stuff.
I'm starting to feel nauseous, like that. Guys. I mean, seriously.
Sorry. But I was grossed out when I read it. I was like, really? People pay for this? Jeez, strange.
And some people get grumpy when they have to go milk the cows. Think about milking them.
Stallions are like, me first.
Time to milk the stallions. They're all just standing there in a line like the cows, like, okay, we're ready for you, boy. They start whacking them in the head with, ow, ow. They're not prehensile, but they have a little control over them. So I can just see them like hitting some farmer upside the head, you know.
Brings a new term of dick slap.
Yeah. How did you get this concussion? You don't want to know.
There's a story I should share with you after the show.
Oh, God.
Do you have a personal horse story or something?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. I was like, I was kind of suspicious there. I was like, what's so bad you can't tell me on the show?
it's something if it's...
It's a horrible fanfic I read.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Then someone was like, dude, you should totally read this. And I totally did, and it was so fucking weird. But it's not for here. But I didn't really do anything April Fool's. I did kind of like get annoyed with some sites because it's like, yay, everything's unusable for
a day. I mean, a lot of people have said that on Twitter. They're like, yay, April 1st, a day where the internet's unusable. Not on purpose, but I pretty much was not online most of the day, and it just kind of worked out like that because it was on a weekend. I think it was Sunday, right?
Yeah, but it was like the whole weekend people were doing stuff.
I barely tweeted that day, and I actually ended up, I took a day off for a change. I watched like a bunch of TV, and I did a couple little things here and there, but I inadvertently ended up avoiding the internet for the majority of the day, and then I was like, hey, I avoided most of the shenanigans and the really lame, I'm leaving the fandom forever, or, you know.
It's like, hey guys, that wasn't funny.
I didn't ever see any of that stuff this year.
That's kind of died out. I don't think April Fool's is as much the thing as it was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, it's on the internet, it's pranky. I know why I didn't really pay anything attention on the first, because I was off running basically errands all day.
Right.
I was helping my family out and helping my sister out and stuff like that.
Mm.
So, yeah, that's why I didn't pay any attention to stuff in the first, because I was gone from, like, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 at night and came home, was exhausted, and went to bed.
Right.
So, yeah, I missed most of it.
Yeah, so I
was like, yeah, that's what I did last Sunday.
I looked at a couple of the neat things ThinkGeek had, but other than that, I did hear about this April Fool's story. I actually heard about this on Unfurled, so I don't mean to steal their thunder, but I'll mention it here.
Their thunder is ours!
There's a Canadian airline did a really funny April Fool's. They introduced a new service. It was putting kids in special totes, and all the children on a flight would be in the cargo compartment. So they were introducing child-free flying. There wouldn't be any screaming kids in the main cabin. But there were these special totes, and I haven't watched the video yet because I was at work when I heard about this. But they apparently shot a video showing like this special tote that they could put the kids in and stuff like that.
It's like checking a pet.
Yeah, exactly. They'd be down there with the pets and the cargo and the luggage, and I was like, oh, I bet there was so many people that were so disappointed that this wasn't a real service.
You know, I would pay extra for child-free flights.
Yeah.
All the screaming. No
children under the age of 12?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 10 wouldn't be too bad.
No children under the age of 18?
Yeah.
No bratty teenagers. You know, not having to hear any rebellious arguments. Fuck you, Dad.
I'll do what I want.
And I don't want to put on my seatbelt. And then security, like, escorts them out and beats the shit out of them.
Everybody cheers.
And everybody cheers. The end! Yay! Child Abuse Airlines!
Because we don't fucking care.
About anything. Okay, so it's my turn now, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, the subject line is a little irrelevant now because we're going to skip that part. So, greetings again, Notcasters. It's Brant the Dragon writing in again for three reasons. Firstly, to mourn the fact that I finally worked my way through the voluminous... And that's so funny. He spells out voluminous, but then he didn't actually put the word that was supposed to be after that. Because he spelled it out for Shiva, so it's just, if you take out the brackets, it's just, I've worked my way through the voluminous. Notcast Archives. Okay, it's there. Never mind. Cut that part out.
I'll edit it in post.
No, you won't, bastard. The aside was so long that I didn't even see it. Okay.
Hey, it wasn't me that fucked that up. That was Jen last week. Sorry. Shiny.
I don't even know if that word was in the last one.
Or not. No, it was her that was stumbling.
Okay. Secondly, I'd like to take a moment to stick up for my favorite nation. Thirdly, I have a topic suggestion. If you'd prefer to stay away from politics, feel free to skip the politics section marked by HTML tags. We will opt for that, since Panther has answered for us directly and done a pretty good job of it. So I'm like, okay, I'll leave it. He has time to argue on the internet. I'll leave it in his game lands.
He's way more willing to do that than I am.
So now that I've put away
I just am sarcastic.
Yeah. Bitches. Fuck yeah. So now that I've put away my soapbox, let me suggest an other Kintharian, etc. topic week. You've touched on the topic numerous times, generally in a joking manner, but I think it may be time to have a bit of dialogue about it. I consider myself an otherkin, and while I understand the ridicule we often receive, I don't think it's earned in all cases.
Proceed.
Just letting that hang there for a moment. Last question. Do you all address each other by your screen names in public? You seem to do it without hesitation on the podcast, which makes me think you are in the habit of doing so elsewhere. Have you ever gotten strange looks for it? TTYL Branth. Okay, so let's answer the easy one first. Screen names.
This is a time and place kind of thing. When we are... It's an in-group versus an out-group thing. In-group, we're more than happy to talk and using our screen names, pseudonyms, fandom names, spirit name, whatever.
My soul name is
Pikachu.
No. But in, like, mixed groups, it's first names. It's real names.
Yeah, because my mate has a couple of things where he's mixed some of his non-furry gaming college friends into the furry groups. Now when he brings them to Furry Fiesta, they fully expect everyone is going to be in furfag mode, and we're going to be using our furry names, you know. But at, like, a party or something like that, you know, a lot of times we'll... And they know me by my real name and all that. Yeah, it's... You know, we don't really... If we're, like, at a restaurant, and I say, "Hey, Saverin, pass the ketchup," we're not really going to get an odd look about that, because honestly, no one really is going to hear that, even if they're
and even if they are paying attention, they're just going to hear a strange name.
Yeah,
Scandinavian.
It's not like, and it's Fuzz, not Fuzz Wolf. So it's just
yeah. Everyone calls me Fuzz for short, which is legitimately a nickname that a lot of people have.
Yeah.
And, you know, usually if someone ever asks me, like, why do they call you Fuzz, I just pull down my shirt enough to see my chest hair, and they'll be like, yeah, that's why.
Because you're manly chest hair.
Because I'm hairy.
And you're silver back. No.
I'm not a gorilla. Giant silver back. The one time, speaking of Therian, this is a related to this topic, was one of the times when I was in the Ware community and we were out at a Howl and we had stopped in town for supplies. We're like at a super Walmart or something like that. And most of us, we didn't know each other's real name. I mean, it's kind of like when you go to a convention, you know, apart from your friends that you already know, most people there, you don't know their real names. You know their badge names.
Adjective, noun, species name.
Yeah, basically. So we've gotten separated, and we're all waiting up front, and then we have to have one of the guys paged that's not there.
Oh, God.
And it was like, I don't remember the exact name, but it was something like Dark Fang Moonwalker or something like that. Your party is waiting for you at the front of the store. And you could kind of be like, it's a Native American name, you know, until the whiter than sheetrock guy shows up, you know.
And of course, now that the first thing that sprung to mind when you said that name is Scarborough Fair is coming up. Oh.
There you go.
It's a very Scarborough name.
Yeah, so Kyle introduced me to the idea. There's a blog, I haven't read much of it, but there's a furry blog called Adjective Species. And he mentioned this on the Not Sheathed episode. And I went, fuck, that's my name. Adjective Species. It's like Fuzz Wolf.
it's noun, adjective species.
It's so lame. But I've had it for so long now that it doesn't feel weird or lame or anything. It's just kind of a part of me. But
you had an adjective species name before it was cool.
I guess. I mean, it's...
Actually, you just came from the time where that was sort of the norm.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think that, you know, people felt the need to be more creative, but creative, air quotes, sometimes ends up just being retarded. You know, you're unique. Oh, there's that great picture of three forks, where two of them are regular-looking fork, and one is, like, all mangled and fucked up, and the tines are going all different directions. And they're like, just because you're unique doesn't mean you're useful.
Yeah.
It's like a demotivator thing. And it's the same with these crazy-ass characters. There is a line that you cross between being a unique, interesting character and being a what the fuck is that? And sometimes people can make what the fuck is that work for them.
To be honest, I play a Chuckat. I mean, you know.
See, yeah, but that has a long and storied history of what the fuck is that.
Right. And, you see, and this is like. Well put, Savin. This is much like politics in this country, how.
My sides hurt.
The center has moved so far to the right. That now shit that people that were centrist 10 years ago now seem like crazy, insane leftists or something. 10 years ago, Chackats were like, what the fuck is that? Now Chackats are like, oh, it's just a Chackat. You know, it's not a six-dicked, eight-nippled, tor, dragon, spider wolf,
angel demon
thing. I mean, you know.
My persona is like cybernetic glowing, Lincoln.
With, like, glowing pink cum.
Yeah. it is spikes. One of those things where it's like, you are right, though, where it's like shit that would just make people step back and go, what? It's not like, it's a cat, whatever.
Yeah. And now, you know, you want to lift something else from a Kevin Smith podcast. I've seen some characters and this is shit that should not be. and that little jingle goes through my
shit
head.
That should not be.
It's like the fucking singing of angels. Sorry to go completely off the rails there. Where were we? Oh, we had another. Okay, so Therian, other kin.
You know, honestly, as a topic. That is something that if we want to address it as a topic, we genuinely would need a representative from the community to, like, be here.
You know, and we did a transgendered episode, and we had a transgendered person on. We did the Polly episode, and I think that was before Shiva was a regular cast member.
No, she was on.
Really?
The Polly one? That was, like, for the first one I did.
Yeah, but it was, like, you were just a guest.
She might have been a guest.
But you were a guest there to, like, put input into the Polly thing, because we were all, like, we don't really have any experience with that.
Yeah. That would be something that we would have to have somebody.
I would prefer that because people would be writing in with their well thought out essays and opinions about therianthropy, and we would be like, we'd be doing what we do now. We'd be like, what the fuck? This shit is crazy. And it's a lot, you know, to be fair, this is kind of prejudicial. It's a lot harder to do that when there's, like, somebody from that group here. Yeah. But, you know, I used to be in that group, so I've formed my opinions of it, and they're not really all that positive.
Well, I've not been around it. It just seems seems very strange to me.
See, also,
but it's one of those things that I don't have a point of view on it that's other than... I've seen terrible examples. I have not seen any normal examples.
Right. Okay. So there's a good and bad. It's you know, it's a lot like religion in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You can have these beliefs, and how much they fuck up your life, you know, depends on your belief structure. You know, are you your garden variety Catholic that still uses birth control because not using birth control is fucking crazy? Or are you, you know, the really out there people that believe everything the Pope says and follow it and consequently have like 18 children, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. And gays are Tay evil and shit like that.
Every sperm is
a yeah, exactly. Are you the therianthrope, other kin, whatever, that it's like, this is my personal spiritual belief about my soul, but I'm living in a human body and I am capable of functioning in human society? Or am I a person where I'm just so completely unable to function in human society that I formed these beliefs so that I can see myself as not being human anymore? Because I used to see this a lot. You know, humans are evil. Humans have raped the land and destroyed the earth, and, you know, real new agey kind of opinion. And it's one of those things where, and furries do this too, some of them, the dumb ones, where it's like, you're human too. You're not typing on that keyboard with dragon claws. You're a human too. And people will, like, it's like that furry survey where there's that percentage of people that don't feel that they're 100% human, that percentage should be fucking zero. I'm sorry. You should feel that you're 100% human because you are. Sorry. Totally, you are. If you're listening to this on an iPod, okay, you may... Maybe your master strapped them to your ears and you're really the family dog. Write it and tell us about it, because you won't be able to write a fucking email if you're the family dog. It's just, there's that range of having a belief and following through of it and not being crazy. And then on the other end of the spectrum is the batshit fucking crazy. And this is a broad generalization, and I always preface my broad, unfair statements by saying, this is a broad generalization, but in my personal opinion, my feelings were that the percentage of crazy to normal was way higher in the Therian community than it is in the furry community.
Oh, well, you see that because you're a furry.
Okay. I'm a furry now for a reason. Furries are more normal and capable of functioning than most wares.
I have no opinion.
In a very broad sense, you know. Individually, I have a lot of... I made some good friends in the wear community. Eventually decided that belief structure was not for me. But some people... Oh my.
So
some people.
If you're one of those other kin that hasn't been mortally offended by Fuzz's statements, please write into the show and let us know. And we'll try to figure something out.
This is, yeah, I mean, this is an interesting issue for me because I mean, I had a good time at the house, you know, when I wasn't spraining my ankle, setting my tires on fire.
What?
And getting a $500 bill for damaging government property from the park rangers. I was having a great time. To
How
be
did
fair,
you set your tires on fire?
Oh, I haven't told the story?
Not to me, at least. I mean.
So, Saverin, do you mind? You're starting to look bored with me. With my shenanigans.
Go on. Don't okay. Let me stop you.
North Carolina Howl, 1998. So, I mean... People listen to this show all over the country and all over the world. So, little background. I lived in Florida at the time. Florida is a very flat state. I learned to drive in Florida. I did not learn to drive in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're in Asheville, North Carolina, which is up in the mountains. And we're coming down from the area we're camping in to pick up... You know, supplies and shit, and to run a couple places in town, and we're going downhill and downhill and downhill and downhill, and we're in the mountains, so it's such a steep grade that my little light ass subcompact Neon could fly down that mountain at 50 miles per hour with no acceleration, with no gas. I could just pop it in neutral and roll that fast. So consequently, I am braking the entire time to the point that the dude behind me starts flashing his lights at me and he CBs the guy at the head of the convoy because there's like 8 cars in this convoy altogether. And we all pull over and he had done this because he had seen smoke start pouring out of my front tires. And they apologized like, I'm sorry, we forgot that you're from a flat state. When you're going downhill and you're braking this much, you'll set your brakes on fire. You have to put your car in first gear because it pulls back a little bit, and it'll be rolling slower then, and you won't accidentally set your tires on fire. So luckily, I did not set my tires on fire, but just barely. The smoke was apparently pouring out of my wheels.
Didn't realize.
There you
that.
Go, anecdote.
Huh. See, I did learn to drive in the mountains, so I was like, huh. I didn't realize that people wouldn't think of that, but okay.
It just, it didn't occur to me. I'm like, I'm just driving like I always drive. Oh boy, I sure am braking a lot. And, you know, I was in my early 20s. I guess I didn't connect the dots, and I didn't think of it. And because you just drive like you're driving, and if you don't learn to drive on different... It's like, I grew up for a little while in Connecticut, but I couldn't drive in snow now because I learned to drive in Florida, you know? And then I've driven here.
That's one reason why I'm glad I did learn to drive in New Hampshire in the winter.
Yeah.
Like, I do know how to snow drive. I mean, I don't have the tires for it now, but I know how to do it.
Yeah. And there's a couple of other locals that have been like, oh, this is nothing. I could totally drive in this. So like... Well, even if you can, the thing you have to look out for are all the Texas natives that can't drive in this shit.
Yeah.
That big snow ice thing we had last year, they were showing like it was kind of funny. The newscasters were like, okay, these people are doing exactly what you should be doing. You should be driving really slow. And then just as they were saying that, there's somebody going like 40 miles per hour in the frozen overpass and... They were both like, whoa, that guy's going way too fast. Just randomly on the news. So.
What not to do.
Huh. What not to... Perfect example of what not to do, yeah. But, yeah, there's that. And that was the same weekend all that shit happened to me. But it was memorable, you know? You'll remember driving, like, it was like 12 hours home on a sprained ankle. And it was my right ankle.
Ow.
And my car didn't have cruise control.
Ow.
And when I got home, I missed my exit and added 40 minutes to my journey.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That it was like a that weekend was like a comedy of errors. And we had gotten rained out. The night I sprained my ankle, we got rained out of the campground. And we'd spent the night in a hotel. And everyone else had called dibs on a bed for some bullshit reason.
So had to sleep in the bathtub.
No, I'd slept on the floor with my newly sprained ankle and my little splint from the emergency room on it.
Jeez.
That's my experience in the wear community.
Sprained ankles, tires on fire.
This in no way influences my opinion on your beliefs.
So we've managed to only read 4 emails so far?
Mm-hmm. That's great. We only have 10 to start with.
I know. It's like, wow, we're at an hour.
Awesome. Do you want to take a break?
We do need to take a break, though, so we can stop and save.
All right.
So we're going to do that. Play some music.
Okay.
And be back with some Bad Drag. Not Bad Drag. You know, they should sponsor us. I don't know.
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve.
At dragons.com.
Adam and Eve versus the dragons. There's a lot of fucking. Lots of fucking.
Emergency alert! Emergency alert! Prepare to repel intruders. Repeat. Emergency alert! Emergency alert!
Emergency alert!
some music. That was song by artist. I may or may not put a song break in there. I probably will, but we'll find out. This week's item from AdamandEve.com is the Purple Pearl Dildo. It is a butt sex dildo. Well, it's the dildo of sex toy enthusiasts, let me tell you.
Oh, it's a seven. I'm so glad it's not a dildo for people that hate sex.
Yeah, and this isn't for casuals, you know. This is a
for enthusiasts only.
Enthusiasts only.
Can only take 8 inches? Fucking casual. Shake my arm to the elbow.
Wear you like a glove?
Anyways, this is a 7-inch purple dildo that is wrapped with a simple, soft, crystal-clear plastic coating for gentle but amazingly firm penetration. With a realistically shaped head and balls, this dildo is destined to be the one of your sex toy favorites. Not to mention, it's so pretty, you'll never want to put it away.
So you just sort of just you to put it away.
You know, whenever it's not used, you stick it to your fridge, you know. It's 1.5-inch wide shaft. It's meant to be squeezed, stroked, and stuffed inside the orifice of your choice. So pick an orifice. You've got a bunch.
And some of us have more than others.
You can use it vaginally, anally, in your ear, nose, in your mouth. Belly button.
Are multiple orifices called orify?
I don't know.
Probably.
Okay.
It's the balls are hollow, so you can grip it. It has a suction cup base.
They're hollow, so you can, because if they weren't hollow, you wouldn't want to hurt its balls.
And you can even use it in a strap-on harness.
Oh, that's handy.
So,
well, no, it's hands-free. So wait,
the shaft is hollow?
No,
too?
The way the the shaft isn't hollow. The balls are hollow.
Oh, okay.
So like it's a shaft, and you have like a faux scrotum. A faux scrote.
Or throat.
Yeah.
Thanks, scrotum. Throat'em.
The suction cup base can also hook into a harness so you can peg. So, that's cool. And it's a 4-star rating thing with 87 reviews. So, clearly...
I thought you said so you can beg. It took me a second to realize you'd said peg. My bad.
Yep. It's a 4-star item with 87 reviews. That means it's pretty positive. It's only $24.95, but if you use our coupon code NOT,
that's KNOT,
you can get half off one item, 3 free DVDs, free shipping on the internet within the U.S., continental U.S. only, and a mystery gift. What is it? Who knows?
And we still like to hear what that mystery gift is.
Indeed. So, use our coupon code NOT at AdamandEve.com and find a way to go fuck yourself. And now back to emails.
Yay!
I think it's my turn.
Yes, it is.
So,
yeah.
Pick this one. Hey, it's not very... There we go. This one's not long. Huzzah. And a response to the person inquiring about rainforest meetings. Hello, Couch, Fez, and Radar Dishes. Dragon Man Mike here. I'm chiming in as someone who's part of the rainforest staff. If you check out rainforest.org/2012/about, this has all of our meeting dates up to the day of the convention. If you have any questions, please contact us on the website. We would love to have people come and see what's up with the con. If the sender of the email is willing to travel up to Vancouver, British Columbia, you can always check out bcfurries.com. We welcome people from the U.S. as well. There we have all sorts of meetup announcements, stuff for sale, and all sorts of other fun. Apart from that, Notarinos, I just want to wish you all a happy spring. If I hope to catch you at Rainforest this year, other casters, I'll sure to say hi when I see you sometime.
I hope I will be there.
You're free to read this on the air, but you can just forward it to the person who sent this email as well. Too bad I read it on air. Cheers, Dragon Man Mike.
Yay.
Cool. Thank you.
So there you go.
I knew someone would write in with that information. And Rainforest is a totally awesome con. You should all totally go to Rainforest. And every other con that I've attended and enjoyed too.
Well, there we go.
But I'm talking about Rainforest right now.
Well, hopefully I'll get a chance to go sometime.
You totally should. It's in a... You like Seattle.
Yeah.
It's a nice area.
I love the area.
Well, you'll be up there for other convention.
Yeah.
Like a month before.
It's just a matter of...
Just hang out for a month, go to Rainforest.
Having the dosh.
Yes, it's all about the dosh. All about the clams. Not... some kind of clams.
So, hey, Sheila, how about an email?
I was waiting for that backpedal.
Well, I mean, you know, this show is also partially about the clams, too.
Let's see which one.
There's so many to choose from.
Yes, this week's item for Adam and Eve is the Big Book of Lesbian Horror Stories.
Another quick short one.
It's an actual item.
Show topic idea.
It's on Amazon.
With the U.S. military having recently lifted the ban on gay service members, white right into the show telling how your life has changed, whether it be as a gay service member or the significant other of one. That's an interesting idea. Hmm. I don't know how it's actually impacted those in the military, if it's still being cut very on the down low still, or if people are like, I'm gay, you know.
I still don't think it's... My feeling on this is, and I feel free to correct me because it would actually be interesting to hear from some people. My feeling on this is that probably most people are not very out loud, out proud yet.
Mm-hmm.
That it's really just, it's a safety net. If you are caught, if people do find out that you have a same-sex partner back home, you can't be drummed out of the military. But with it being such a masculine and testosterone-fueled environment, I can't imagine that it's, like, really, really gay-friendly, you know?
Yeah, I've seen... I know I've seen a couple of, like, shots about people, you know, coming home, kissing their partners.
Yeah, you know? And that's awesome to see.
I just didn't know if we had any of the Milfers that want to chime in on how it's actually changed in the rank and file. I mean, has it really changed? Is it still keep it on the down low? You know, what's the impact been so far?
Because, I mean, you know, yeah, it's legal to be a homosexual in high school, too. But in a lot of environments, it behooves you to keep it on the down low if you're in a conservative part of the country. So,
I mean, I do think that for a lot of... Most of the anecdotal stuff that I've heard is, like, when it sort of came out, this was sort of during Dynast Untel, people knew, but they didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was just sort of a... And. Now, it's probably the same way, where people talk about their daily lives, and that's pretty normal, and they don't have to be so afraid if, you know, Jim Joe Bob from Kansas decides he don't like them dark queers killing brown people. He wants good heterosexual white Americans killing brown people. And, you know, goes and talks to his CO and
makes an official report.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's like, well, Cletus can have his problem.
Yeah.
He can pound sand, and luckily in the Middle East, there's a lot of it.
Yep.
So I guess it's my turn.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what do we got here? Okay. I'm going to read a con report. Yay, con report! For Idaho! Which, I should say, For Idaho is a new convention that just had its first year this year, a couple weeks ago, if I recall correctly.
Was their mascot Tater, the anthropomorphic Tato?
No, really? It wasn't. Although I do know one of the two guests of honor. One of the guests of honor was Kadath, who's an artist whose work I really enjoy. He's a giraffe character, if you're familiar with his work.
But they're not potatoes at all.
They're not potatoes at all.
They have spots that are shaped like potatoes.
It's Idaho.
Hey, yo, potatoes. I'm from Idaho.
Potato!
Oh, it's potato! Speaking of giraffes, though, I did hear a wonderful analogy recently.
Yeah.
You're higher than a giraffe pussy.
Wow, that's...
Whoa. That's a new one.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
I was like, that, all right, I'm going to have to whip that out on somebody now. That's pretty
cool. And now
cool.
You have whipped it out all over us.
That's right.
And it's slimy.
Well, they have to be quick in the wild.
Yeah.
Fur Idaho. Hosts of Notcast. A little fox in the sky told me that you wanted some con reports of Fur Idaho, so I will oblige. I had figured, since this is a first-time convention and in Idaho, that it wouldn't do so well. I estimated the attendance at maybe 100, only double than the local Utah fur meets. However, after the convention, I was pleasantly surprised, but I'll save that for later in this email. Thursday, me and my mate arrived at the hotel and unpacked. We didn't put together our flying shark as a marketing scheme for our podcast for what it's worth. That's just the podcast name. Oh, excuse me. You know, somebody wrote to me once and said, you need to stop yawning on Notcast. You're making me tired. I'm like, I'm sorry. It just happens. Maybe I have that narco sleepy or something. We went and flew it in the pool area. This is the flying shark. But because there was not enough putt to weigh it down, it got stuck up into the ceiling. It was then we met with one of the other guests of honor, Finally Young Deviants. We knew that this shark will go down in for Idaho history because of their reactions. After that, we unpacked and took a swim with some of our good friends from Utah. But when we jumped in, boy, were we surprised. Apparently, the hotel uses actual salt water for their pools, so it was disgustingly salty. We never did go back in for a swim. That's odd. Have you guys ever heard of a hotel using salt water in a pool before?
No.
I've never heard of that. Friday, we set up our dealer's table and ran it. We met a lot of people by being in the dealer's den, and it's something that I would love to do again. We did miss a lot of the outside action, but perhaps it was worth it in the end. Rue ran his panel, Fursuiting 101, and me and him both ran your first furry convention. It was our friend Midnight's birthday at the convention, so we made sure to give him a great birthday surprise. I talked to the con chair about singing happy birthday during the opening ceremonies, and he agreed. That was one of the best parts of the convention. Saturday, we mostly just was in the dealer's den and met more people. Sunday, we ran our dealer's den and ran our panels. I ran multimedia in the fandom. Then right after, it was time to get into suit for the fursuit parade, which we led, and it was awesome. Then we got out of fursuit and went directly to our next panel, the For What It's Worth live show. It went wonderfully well. I think it's one of our best episodes we have done in a long time. Oh, and thanks to Panther for that advice he gave me. It was much appreciated. Right after the live show, we ran another panel, Growing Your Local Community. There were epic shark battles during closing ceremonies because FYD decided to get a flying shark as well. We learned that For Idaho had 251 attendees, more than double what I thought they would get. This was simply amazing. Monday, we headed home. Overall, I thought the convention would be just a business convention for my podcast. However, it turned out to be the perfect mix of business, meeting new people, fursuit dancing, and panel running. Though I did learn that being a GOH is tiring, I look forward to For Idaho 2013. A kitty cat, Elias Saphir.
Oh, that's and cool.
Their podcast is www.furwhatitsworth.com. If anybody wants to check it out.
There you go. I was actually going to go look on Wikifur, but their Wikifur article for...
hasn't been updated.
PotatoCon. Actually, that was like the con's nickname. I did look at their Wikifur page, and it's incredibly sparse. And apparently the For Idaho website's down.
Well, they, you know, since they just had their first year, maybe they're updating it.
And it says, For Idaho, effectively named PotatoCon after the state vegetable and more important crop, take place in Boise, Idaho. So that's cool. Mm. Happened March 25th, 23rd, 25th. Had a couple artists, a couple music guys. Say this.
Looks like their theme for 2013 is furries and time and space.
There you go.
Furries and time and space.
It's always good for these first year cons to have a decent first year.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's like, hey, there's a market for this.
You know, it's in that Pacific Northwest area, but it, like I was saying before, it's far enough away from Seattle that it's not a problem for Rainforest, and it's at the opposite end of the year.
Yep.
So, you know, and the only other con, there's a couple Canadian cons in March, but then the only other U.S. con I think is in March is FWA, which is like... as far opposite diagonally from Idaho as you could possibly get. So they picked a good time frame and part of the country.
Region.
Yeah.
Counterpoint.
Because, you know, they can kind of cover that region. You know, FWA gets a lot of folks from the Atlantic coast and stuff like that. So I wish them well. I'm glad that they had a good first con and, you know... like I said, artist I really like was GOH, so, you know, I'm glad things went well.
I like Kenneth's stuff.
Me too.
Yep. Hey, we publish a book by him at FurPlanet.com called Coffee Stains. Especially if you like boobs. Because there's
his giraffe character.
There's hot giraffe chicks. I really love his jackal character, Nightshade.
Yes.
I have like four pictures of her using and abusing my character. It's really hot.
The more you know.
Sorry, am I boring you, Saverin? I have awesome.
I'm just going to have to go over here to E621 and look up Kadath.
I'm
just going to whip it out and start fapping. I have awesome
my character.
Anyways.
I read that one, so it's your turn.
Yep. This is a no subject short one. Hey, okay. Notcast, it's Shadis. Thank you so much for your advice on this episode. I have some good news. Her dad is getting psychological help for her separation anxiety regarding his daughter. As a thank you, I'm inviting you all to our wedding, which has yet to have a date. That is, if you can make it when the date is set. I'm sorry if this isn't making time for your next show. I've been busy visiting my mate. Thank you again. I'll see about getting y'all some of the new silicone shot glasses from Bad Dragon. Sent from my eye buggery.
Awesome. Thank you for writing back in with a follow-up, and I'm glad shit seems to be working out.
Yay.
Yes, very much glad. All right. Let's see. Appropriate timing. Hello, NotCast. Hello, NotCast. Please read with a Canadian accent for entertainment's sake. A? I don't know. I don't do accents really well.
Okay, what's this email all about?
Well, if there's an aboot in here, I'll use it, but, you know. I will apologize in advance for the monstrosity this email probably is. I messed up one of my hands real bad, so I'm typing with one hand. Also on some meds. We'll probably give up on fixing it after a while.
So you're high and masturbating. You don't have to make up these, oh, I fucked up my hand. Never mind. Go ahead.
At work, one of my coworkers was telling me about their achy breaky heart after her boy cheated on her. Another coworker was asking about moving in with her boy. This led to all thinking, when is it appropriate to make these decisions, such as to get physically intimate, move in, get married? They asked me because I had been in an abusive relationship, not anymore. I left a fucker, if you were worried about. Also, why I hate my local police department, but that's another story. Well, that sounds like a story to hear. Well, I'm a bit more cynical when it comes to these decisions because of my past, so I was wondering, what does NotCast think? When is too early? I know that if you bring a U-Haul to the second date or threaten to cut your balls off, then if you won't marry them, run away, run far, far away. But that might take 3 days where I live. Local joke for those that get it. Eh. Sincerely, your listener from Saskatchewan, Canada, Estes Fox.
The joke is, he's in Saskatchewan.
So, when is too soon to get physically involved, and when is it appropriate to move in with someone?
Anything or less than a year is suspect.
What, to move in?
To move in, yeah. I think you could put out on the first date. My email address is
slutwolf@slutwolf.com.
I don't know.
It also depends. I mean, have you had like a lot online chatting too? Or are you talking about just purely physical in person reactions? You know,
Of Eyebrow, Saskatchewan.
I'm not a good one to ask about this. My morals are dubious at best. So.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. You don't say.
You know, it all okay, so as far as screwing, it all depends on the person, you know? And it's one of those individual things, and not just you, it also depends on the person you're talking to. I've had friends, okay, fuck buddies, that at least one guy, we chatted online, we really hit it off, we clicked a lot, we had a lot of the same interests. I met him in person. I didn't mean for that to happen. We went home, we fucked. And everything was fine. He wasn't crazy. We've remained very good friends. It's all good. And then, you know, there are other people that, you know, you don't develop an it's all about when you click as friends, you know. If you don't develop that instant click, you know, it takes a while. It's one of those, like, social situations that you just kind of have to gauge. And there's also, like Sheba was saying, there's a question of IRL versus online, you know? Because, you know, Tieran and I had talked online and on the phone and spent a lot of time interacting like that from 1,000 miles apart, you know, before we ever did anything together in real life. So we'd kind of built up all this anticipation, I guess, of meeting in person. But, you know, if you're out dating somebody locally, you know,
yeah,
you might want to go through a handful of dates before being like, am I comfortable, you know, sleeping with this person or doing anything with this person?
But if you have had months and months of talking with them online, or years in some cases.
Mm-hmm. And we've already RP'd, you know, type fucked and so forth. I'm just thinking, like, in person, it's like, yeah, you know, you might want to gauge things. And something we've also discussed in prior episodes is you don't have to go zero to balls deep in one date, you know?
That's called a one-night stand.
Yeah, well, or even 2 days. But you don't have to go zero to balls deep at any point. You know, you could take it slow. You know, you can kiss, you can make out, you can, you know, do some lower level risk stuff like mutual masturbation and things like that. You know, you don't have to go full on penetration the first time you're physically intimate with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so even that depends on the people that are, you know, so I'm sorry I'm not giving a real definitive answer. It's just one of those things of like, not physically, but you need to just sort of feel out the situation as you approach it.
That, and there's all different ways to form a relationship. Like, I personally have had people that have gone from being just simple fuck buddy to getting a lot, doing it backwards. You have someone where you're basically just a friends with benefits, and you end up slowly developing this a lot closer bond with.
Right.
You know. So and I'm not the only one. I've known a couple of people that started out that way, and then it turned into some kind of date night movie. Mm-hmm. You know, no strings attached or whatever.
One well-known person that's discussed this is Dan Savage.
Mm-hmm.
He's been with his partner for many years, over a decade, I think, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
They met as a one-night stand, fucking in a bathhouse or a bar or something like that. And it was supposed to be just a one-time thing, and then they ended up being together for X number of years.
Yeah.
You know? So you never know.
There's not a right or wrong way to do it. I mean, you can have the slow date that leads up to intimacy and moving in, and then you can do it backwards.
Yeah. It's whatever works for you and what your individual connection is with the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might always be the same person, but how you are intimately and relationship-wise is going to change from person to person.
Yes.
Saverin, anything to add? Or?
Not really. As I said, a year is the minimum.
For moving definitely. In. Definitely.
Doing stuff together a couple months. I mean, it really depends. Because don't stick your dick in crazy. Seriously. Just don't. It's always bad. Never turns out good.
Yeah.
And like for Panther and I, we moved in after being together a year and a half. So.
Yeah. And I'll say also that, you know, I'm sure my opinion has changed over the time with age, you know, and I didn't think shit out to this degree when I was in my early 20s, you know. I just kind of did whatever worked at the time. And in a way, I'd say I've had a very lucky life, you know, in that regard. I've had some fun. Nothing bad has happened. I've had a couple people that now I'm like, I wish I hadn't fucked that guy because later on he turned out to be an asshole. But, you know, I don't have any STDs or anything like that, any life-scarring events or anything, you know? So to an extent, you can kind of trust your instincts most of the time.
Just don't think with your dick too much.
Yeah, and you know,
or vagina.
I think we all have situations like that. Like, I know there's a couple times in my life where I've thought with my dick. Mm-hmm. And you know the solution for that is go jerk off and then rethink the situation with a clear head. Mm. But, you know, if you're young, you'll make some mistakes. But if you're careful, you shouldn't make any mistakes that are going to be permanently life damaging or haunting, you know, or emotionally scarring.
Yeah. Well, still, sometimes shit happens. It's just how you recover from it. That's the important part.
Yeah. Okay, who read that?
Me.
That was Shiva, and now it's your turn, and then I think that should be close to being it.
Okay.
And yeah, speaking of Saskatchewan, man, there's fucking nothing. Just throwing it out there. There's two cities of any size, and any size is, well, they're 4 miles across.
I know at least a couple of Canadians that can ask about this.
He's been looking at the map of Saskatchewan this entire time.
Hearing,
and that's what distracted him.
Sometimes hearing the Unfurled guys talk about Saskatchewan, and
Saskatoon is at least 6 miles across.
It really does sound like going back to like very small town America where there's just fuck all.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I'm looking at this map. It's like you zoom out on the basic view that Google shows you when you just choose Saskatchewan. Uh-huh. It shows two towns, Saskatoon and Regina. And then when you zoom in, all these teeny tiny little one horse literally towns. It's like, look at this. This town is a grid of 4x5 blocks. I mean, it's
really,
it's 2,000 feet end to end town wise. You know?
Did you say there's one called Eyebrow or something?
Yeah, there was one called Eyebrow that's this really weird shape.
But in typical American fashion, Texas has a town called Gun Barrel City.
And Cut and Shoot. Well, here's one called Elbow.
What are they all with the body parts in Canada?
Well, Elbow is actually, you know, has a condo place, apparently. It's because it's at the confluence of, like, some rivers, I guess. It's at the Elbow.
This Canadian geography lesson.
Plus, they have all these nice little glacial lakes. It's great. I'm sure it's very pretty, but
I should go to the fabled Canada someday.
I'm going to go to Canada. I'm going to go to Vancouver.
I've been there several times.
It's like North Seattle, right?
Yeah.
I haven't been there.
Oh, okay. Seattle. Okay. Okay. The last email is somewhat long. So let's get this show on the road here. Okay. The first time, or the last, or help for a fellow furries. Dear Notcast, as this is my first time writing in, I'll try to keep the wall of text down to a manageable size for the most part. Anyway, edit, well, keeping it short was a fail. Hello, and greetings from the Gulf Coast. As my email implies, my name is Fox Enuron, or House Fox if pronunciation is problematic. I've listened to your podcast for a while now, and I've never had much to say, so I've been lurking in the deep crags of your audio files, and have never had much to report, until now, of course. I am a relatively benign and solitary fox, living out my days in the last parts of my high school career, and I've generally never taken a particular liking to many other people in my area. That all changed about a month or so ago, when I started talking to a fairly new fur I met whilst listening to music on the usual bus route. Let's call him Wolf for now. And that's Wolf with a U. Seeing as how he doesn't have a particular fursona yet. Anyway, in my opinion, we really hit it off. We started listening to music together every day and talking and debating on various topics every so often. One day he was describing problems he was having with his PS3, so we had sex. No. So, I, having experience in the topic, invited him and his malfunctioning console to come hang out sometime. All went really well. We talked, joked around, and looked at random internet pictures, mostly. And eventually he was spending a considerable amount of time over at my place. I do get credit for keeping him fed, too. He brought over his thumb drive one day, and whilst perusing the contents of his picture archive, I came across a considerable amount of clean furry artwork. But, of course, this didn't surprise me, seeing as how I had brought up the subject beforehand, and he revealed that he, too, was of the fandom. I questioned him once he got back into the room about all of the artwork, and he was naturally inquisitive about where he kept his more adult-themed archive. So he went ahead and, knowing he couldn't hide much now, brought up his collection. The first thing I noticed was that for a seemingly straight guy, there was a distinct lack of straight porn. In fact, all of the 200-plus images there, all of them were gay. I would mention now that I am gay, and I didn't particularly find him unattractive either. In fact, that point had crossed my mind before on more than one occasion. So I went ahead and asked him, "So what would you best identify yourself as? Gay, straight, bi?" He muttered to himself something I didn't quite catch, but generally said that he wasn't really too sure yet. "So he's a virgin, huh?" I thought to myself as he promptly changed the subject onto a more comfortable discussion, leading me to confirm that he is, in fact, new to all things particularly lovely about intimacy. I let about a week go by, and upon recollection of that discussion at every idle moment, thought deeper into the subject. I ended up asking the advice of one of my friends, and he promptly responded that he was, one, jealous, and two, that I should definitely pursue my prey. All throughout the next week or so, as he was coming over to my house regularly after school, I brought up the subject of the fandom more often than complete innocence would allow, and we eventually ended up seeing the entirety of our libraries, he being completely entertained with my collection especially. One day, as there was a thunderstorm outside and my computer was safely unplugged, we were listening to music in my room when I finally decided how best to broach a more intimate subject with him. Using my skills as a very loquacious natural masseuse, I calmly pointed out that he had seemed stressed lately. In fact, he was. After a small session of deliberation and convincing words, I got him shirtless and face down on my pillows as I worked my casual magic on him, taking consideration to pace myself for my own enjoyment, mostly anyway. I'm starting to get a little hard here. After all small tasks were said and done, and he was sufficiently relaxed for my purposes, I fucked him. No, sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I let him make himself at least presentable to any foreign eyes. When we got into a conversation about a couple deeper but nonetheless unimportant matters, a couple minutes passed in, and I found myself face to face with him less than a hand's length away. After everything that then transpired, all about being his first kiss and all, he did seem more at ease and a little quieter in retrospect than before. But all good things die young, and he had to leave for the day to go get back home. Here's where the problem starts and why I need professional advice now. He ended up coming over again after being kept away on family business for a weekend, and all that happened the time before was ingrained into my memories as freshly as if it had happened the day before. After a good while of the usual little warm afternoon spice tea and some browsing on E621 to improve the archives a bit, I decided it was just about time for a little taste of what I was sure to come. We were sitting next to each other, and I had the controls, so I let him assume command of the all-powerful mouse while I took a little tea break. I was feeling particularly comfy that day, so I decided to share the comfort and casually slipped an arm around his shoulder and brought him a little closer, considering we had been much closer than that the time before. After feeling him relax and continue browsing, I felt that it was time to get to know him a little better. So I slipped a soft paw over, and I'm not going to finish this sentence, because it would be very unprofessional to read pornographic material whilst trying to podcast, I assume, regardless of the situation. After a moment or two, I laid my head on his shoulder, feeling for the most part contentment, but I noticed that he had a somewhat pleading look on his face, like something was wrong now. Of course, the absolute first thing I felt was guilt, because maybe I had gone too far too soon for comfort. I asked him what was wrong, but he seemed to only get more distant and turned away from me, so I took the cue and gave him a little space. I got up to catch my breath and think a little and refill our teacups, despite him refusing my offer to do so. I came back with the tea, and he was very pensive, with his head hung half low, so I tapped his shoulder, tried my best to muster a smile, and handed him his tea, which he took with a glance up to me. I went ahead and took the opportunity to go ahead and change to the music to something more lighthearted, quickly posted something to Facebook, and started up Blacklight Retribution. Okay, fill me in. What's Blacklight Retribution?
I'm not sure. It's not a game. I think it's a game I've played.
Tavern?
Sorry, what?
What's Blacklight Retribution?
I have no idea.
Okay, never mind.
I'm
going
to say it's a game.
It's a game, I'm sure. Just
blanking. Okay, because I knew he couldn't refuse a couple rounds of that. After a while, all was back to normal, and I didn't ask him what was wrong immediately, so we were both in a good mood after a couple jokes. By then, dinner was ready, so we sat in front of the TV and watched a little...
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a new free-to-play FPS MMO thing.
UFC with our meal, and all was pretty good from then on out. As he was about to leave, I did broach the question again about what made him so upset, and he shrugged off that question like he did the question about his sexuality, and I dropped the subject. We said our farewells, and he left. Ever since then, it just feels like that kiss we shared has all but faded into memory because of my fear to press any issue. The next time we met, we did talk, though. I had a discussion about why he was so down about what happened, and eventually I gleaned that he felt hopeless for having any feeling of love toward me because of how he was raised, Christian parents, and that he felt like he wasn't my equal and that he doesn't deserve me at all. I really did try my best to convince him that almost everything he said was in most aspects a lie to himself and me, and I knew it. My doubt now is whether my words held any weight at all in his heart, because I really do want, if not a relationship, at least a very close bond between me and him. I would gladly wait for him to be ready for me in terms of the sex, because that's one aspect I personally understand being apprehensive about, especially with all the pressure associated with something like that. We still talk to each other, still listen to music with each other every day, and he still comes over occasionally, so no doubt we're still friends. But like I said, I would really like the opportunity to find at least one person in my life that can be close to me and vice versa. Sincerely, House Fox. P.S. Thank you for taking the time to read all of this. It really means a lot to me, and I would forever appreciate any help on this matter. And as an afterthought, he is a year younger than me, if that would have any effect on anything. I think not.
Well, maybe.
It might. And, you know, he's not quite at that point in his life where he's really ready to do anything like that. And, you know, we all develop at a different pace. And some people are more ready to embrace their sexuality than others. And, yeah, a lot of it depends on how you were raised.
Time, experience, coming to grips with things.
Yeah. Do you have any advice, Shira, to offer him?
Take it slow. Let the guy set the pace. Just be his friend for now and let things come as they will.
Yeah. Because if you go too fast, he's going to freak out and run away.
Yes.
Yeah. And you don't want to lose a friend. You know, better to have a friend for now than, you know, to not have him in your life at all.
Yeah. That's basically it. Let him set the pace.
Okay. That works for me. What did we want to do next week, then? Actually, what's going on next week?
Next week...
Not much.
I don't think I have anything going on.
More work. Been going to the gym. That's about it.
Yeah. Mm.
I get to go car shopping. Yay.
Yay, car shopping.
Oh, good. Yeah. Get yourself a car. Or a new car.
The car situation's kind of silly right now. But.
It's a really boring week next week for me.
Okay. We're going to start up a little something on For Planet. I'm a little bit late on this, but I didn't want to announce it on April 1st because of all the April Fool shenanigans going on. Yeah. I figured it would just be overshadowed.
Well, they might think it's a joke anyways.
Yeah. So I'll get this online tonight and get this all set up and going before Savern posts the episode. But I want to make April Anthology Appreciation Month at For Planet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to basically knock down the price on all of our anthologies. We'll be on some kind of sales, all the For Planet and Bad Dog Books anthologies. And there'll be a special deal on Volume 1 of Fang and Volume 1 of Roar as a kind of introduction to the series. I'm going to knock them down to half price, to $9.95 for the rest of April. And part of the point of that is that I would like to entice more people into trying out some furry reading. And if you haven't read a lot of the things that the fandom has produced and you're not really sure whose writing style you'd like to look for, then, you know, anthologies are a lot of work to produce, but I feel they're very important because the one book can introduce you to like 10 different writers and their style and their works, you know, and you can find some people that you like. So it's something that for younger folks or for, well, for more for newer folks to the community that are discovering it, I think an anthology is a really good jump on point for discovering furry writing. So I'm making them my like special focus basically for the month of April.
Awesome.
So cool. We got that going on. Also, if you go to anthology.forplanet.com, you'll see all of our anthologies that are currently open for submissions.
Oh, okay.
And a description of the theme and the guidelines for the stories and the contact info for the editor. So if you want to submit to anything we got going on, we have, you know, Fang and Roar open up periodically. Roar is open right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have another, we have a horror-themed anthology about abandoned places. The information is up about that as well. So, you know, if you're a writer and you're interested in writing some short stories, then go to that website. And, you know, that's all of our information on the anthologies there. So.
Okay.
So that's what's going on at For Planet at the moment.
Nice.
So if anybody else got anything, we'll guess we'll come up with a topic sometime during the week.
Oh, yeah. We always do.
We had like 3 topic suggestions this email.
Get the Milfers to write in about how their
Don't Ask, Don't Tell has
changed anything, if anything.
Yeah. I don't know if either of the topics, I think we just got 2, my bad, miscounted. But I don't know if either of the topic suggestions we got, we would get enough of a response to fill an entire show. But one was the Milfers and one was the Therians. So, I mean, we're kind of open to email on both of those, plus our regular stuff.
That sounds good to me.
So, you know. And, yeah, you're right. We probably should have a Therian on here to talk about it. But if anyone wants to put their particular spin on it, I'd be open to hearing it.
Okay.
So, on that note, good night.
And big balls.
Big balls.